There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got a heart overflowing 'cause I've been restored. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. When the valleys that I wander turn to mountains that I can't climb, oh, you are with me, you never leave me. 'Cause there ain't nothing steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got a heart overflowing 'cause I've been restored. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, 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 oh. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, 'cause he's all you ever need, all you ever need. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, 'cause he's all you ever need, all you ever need. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got a heart overflowing 'cause I've been restored. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Woo! All right.
Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rage, rich, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I can feel alone now. Up came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptation hide me, I'm standing on the solid rock.
Come on, church.
I'm standing on the rock of ages, saved from all the storms that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. Close is our relation, firm is our foundation. So on solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, saved from all the storms that rages, raised but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock.
Amen. that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me. It's amazing. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He called me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me. It's amazing. Come on, church. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. Come on. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. God.
Think of a better friend to have going into the new year. Try to put a theme together if you look at the songs. So, you know, we had one revival in our church to start with. We want to be on solid rock through the new year. And what a better friend to open our eyes, the next song, open the eyes of our heart. And then before we, the last song that Bridget's going to lead is Lord, I Need You. And what a better thing to have than to realize what we need going into the new year. I'm not one to make resolutions. I think daily we make resolutions. But if you do make resolutions, what a better resolution to make this year than, Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Let me hear you, church.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy.
Come on, church. Lift your hands up.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Praise God. Amen.
Y'all don't mind, I gotta tune this thing. That's why I stopped playing.
That's all right. This playlist that Justin was led to put together just shows everything that we've been through, that our friends and family has been through, the church has been through, everything that we've gone through. 2019 is over. We don't live in the past, y'all. We look forward to the future. And what better way to look forward to the future but looking to Him? And you just cannot. These are songs of prayer. These are songs that we can just close our eyes, lift our hands up, and just be in the moment. The Spirit is in the Lord's house this morning with His church. And let's just close your eyes and continue doing what you're doing. It's going to be with us as we go out into this community and be that healing presence in a hurting world. Most importantly, starting right here in our own community. Be that light. Be that salt. We've got it.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me, and where you
Jesus.
That's all right, brother. That's better than kicking the can. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Thanks, praise team, for reminding us of what is really important. And, you know, how I like what JR said, as Christians, we don't live in the past, because that's not where our hope is. Amen. That's not that's not where our future is. Our future is not in the past. It's in the future. It's in what's coming. Now, we can learn from the past, and certainly we should, and we're going to do that today. I hope we'll learn some things from the past. But at the same time, if we constantly keep our eyes on the past, it reminds me of the little story that was told in Sunday school. The teacher was teaching a Sunday school class, a group of six, seven, eight-year-old boys, and talked about Lot's wife looking back and turned into a pillar of salt. And little Johnny stuck up his hand, "Well, teacher, teacher, let me just tell you this. My mom looked back, and she turned into a telephone pole. So that's what happens when you keep looking back. We don't want to turn into some telephone poles this year. We want to turn into what Jesus wants us to be. Let me say something else, too. I appreciate Todd, too. Todd does a lot, so much in this church. And I think I mentioned last week that he and Brandon installed this cool monitor up here. And it helps the praise team. It helps me. And just appreciate all the talented people that we have back there doing all you stuff, all you guys do, and all the other stuff you do. Well, I have shifted in midstream from not preaching at all to thinking about a passage out of 2 Timothy to going to Joshua. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Joshua chapter 3 this morning. Joshua chapter 3 to me is Joshua is actually one of my favorite characters in the Bible to begin with, because Joshua to me shows someone whom God can use once he is confronted with just an overwhelming need. And Joshua was confronted with that. And he had been one of Moses' right-hand men. He was one of those who came through those 40 years of wilderness wandering. Moses has since been taken on to glory to be with the Lord, and now Joshua is getting ready to begin a very new chapter in his life, a very challenging, daunting chapter in his life. And so when we come to Joshua 3, we are getting ready to do something that has never been done before, at least not that we see in Scripture here at this point, but we're getting ready to see God do something remarkable and do something that's going to truly manifest who He is. And so let's read Joshua chapter 3, and we'll read down through verse 6, and then we'll make some thoughts about that. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have ever started a new job? Ever started a new job? Well, some of you have struggled with that. But if you've ever started a new job, have you ever started a job when you thought about, am I going to be able to handle this job? You know, I've had some jobs like that. I've been put into some positions where I've looked at it and looked at the job description and maybe talking to my hiring manager, whoever it happened to be, and thinking, I'm not sure this old boy here is cut out to do this or not. Magnify that by 100-fold, and you will have an idea, maybe an inkling of an idea, of how Joshua felt right here. The crazy thing about Joshua, as I mentioned, he had been really one of Moses' right-hand men. If you remember, it was Joshua and Caleb who, at the beginning of that 40-year period of wandering in the desert, when they went over into the promised land, they were the only two spies of the 12 who came back with a positive report. You remember that? And God says, because the other Israelites did not obey in faith, because the other Israelites did not take up the mantle and cross over the Jordan and occupy the promised land, they were going to be subjected to wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And so that's what happened. So Joshua's been there through all of this. He's seen all the things that Moses did, all the ways that God used Moses before they left Egypt and left Egyptian bondage behind. He saw those wanderings through the wilderness. He saw all of the different miracles, all the different trials, all the different testings, as J.R. mentioned a little while ago. He saw all of those things that were in his past, in his 2019, if you will. He saw all of those things. So now, since Moses is gone, God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, guess what? You're next up. Now, to tell you how scared I think Joshua was, if you'll go back to Joshua chapter 1 and look at verse 7, Joshua, I think, is really having some serious reservations about whether he can do this or not. You got to remember, the Israelites were not the nicest crowd to deal with. I really believe they were probably Baptist. They were not the nicest people. They were not the easiest people to lead. And Joshua had seen all of that, you know? And you know how Baptists are. We've got to have a committee to form a committee. So that's kind of the way it was with Joshua. He has seen all of that stuff. And I think Joshua is scared to death. But when you look in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, down to verse 9, I want you to listen to what God tells Joshua. He says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I love it when God speaks to our hearts, don't you? And I love it when God speaks to our hearts both through the Spirit of God, but also through the Word of God. And so God comes to Joshua and says, listen, Josh, be strong, be courageous. Just be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. And then he goes on and says, now don't turn from it to the right or to the left. How many of us are good at improvising? I am, because my idea is sometimes, well, if God says do this, and this way seems hard, or this way seems difficult, or this way doesn't seem to be working the way I thought it was, it's real easy for me to say, well, let's just try to deviate over this way a little bit, or let's try to go over this way a little bit and see what we can do to fix that. And I think this is why God told Joshua, don't turn from it to the right or to the left. Because if you will do what I've asked you to do, if you will follow my directions, you will be successful wherever you go. So many times in my counseling role, I have people come and say, I got to get out of Carteret County. This place is just bad for me. I got to get out of here. I need a change of scenery. And I always look at them and say, just remember, wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. Because I can find drugs, I can find alcohol, I can find bad people, I can find all kinds of stuff in Wake County just as good as I can in Carteret County, and Buncombe County as well as I can in Carteret County. It's not necessarily about my geographic location, it's about my heart location and where my mind is. And that's true positively too. Because God told Joshua, he says, if you'll just follow me and follow my word, do what I ask you to do, obey me, and you don't turn to the right or to the left, but you'll do what I ask you to do, you will be successful. Notice where he said, wherever you go. Wherever you go, you will be successful. Then in verse 8, he says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do you see a theme here? Do you see a theme? The theme from God to Joshua is, Joshua, I've got this. I've got you. You don't have to turn to the left or to the right. All you got to do is follow my word. All you got to do is listen to my voice. All you got to do is listen to the Spirit of God, and I will take you where you need to go. You will be successful. You will be prosperous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? That is a command, by the way. Have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So now we fast forward to chapter 3 that we just read. Joshua now is getting ready to really see if God is going to fulfill his word. How many of you realize what's going to happen here? Have you read down into Joshua 3 to find out what happens? What's going to happen is going to blow your mind. Because God is getting ready to say to Joshua what he wants these people to do. But in order for us to do that, and in order for us to see God working, there are some things that we have to understand here. And this is where Joshua 3 comes in. So let's look at it. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out to Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Crossing over what? The Jordan River. The interesting thing about the Jordan River at this time of the year, and I think most Bible teachers believe this is maybe around early spring. At this point, the Jordan River was not just the regular Jordan River. At this point, the Jordan River was swollen outside of its banks. It was flooded because of the water that had come down from the mountains that had now gone into the Jordan River. So now, we're not talking about a river this wide. We're talking about a river this wide. So now they're camped out here. So after 3 days, have you ever thought about why 3 days? Have you ever thought about, if I got to have something done, I'd rather go ahead and just get it done? I don't know exactly if there is a significance to the 3 days, but I think it's interesting that God let them camp there for 3 days. And my guess is, my thought is that maybe God allowed them to sit there for 3 days to just kind of, pardon the pun, just kind of soak in what's getting ready to happen. Maybe letting them understand, we're at the banks of this swollen river. Maybe the current is running pretty quickly, and they're thinking, we got to cross from this side to that side to get to the promised land. And I'm thinking maybe God is letting them just kind of sit there and just kind of soak in this experience that is about to unfold before them. So after that 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. Now, this is important. Because this is something you and I need to keep our minds and our hearts set on. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your possessions and follow it. What is God telling us there? Most of us do a really good job, as we talked about a little while ago, of improvising. How many of us jump the gun? There's so many of us who jump the gun on God. We want God to work. We pray that God will work. We ask Him to do remarkable things in our lives. And yet, when God doesn't meet our timetable, we tend to take things into our own hands. We tend to jump ahead and do things that God has not told us to do, but we just assume that since it's my life, I should be able to do what I want to do with my life, right? Or my family or my job or whatever the situation is. We kind of take that. But what does God remind us of here? When I move, you move. Is there something we need to learn about that? Absolutely. Because God says, when I move, that's when I want you to move. And I'll tell you something, that sometimes is really hard to do because there's two factors in that that's hard sometimes for us. The first factor is the fact that it's not my life, it's God who bought me with the price, so I'm His, and I need to be obedient. Obedience is hard for us. It's hard for me, I know. I struggle with obedience because deep within me there are things that I want or things that I crave or things that I think would be better. And so when God says, wait, or when God says, don't, it's almost something within me that recoils at that and says, but no, I want to do that, or no, I want to engage in that. So that's the first struggle that we have when it comes to listening to God and obeying Him. Here's the other thing, is rest. You realize how hard it is for some of us to rest? I read a passage, I've been reading through the book of Hebrews, and I think it's in chapter 4, where the writer of Hebrews talks about that after God created on the sixth day, He entered His rest, and He says, I want you to enter your rest with me. Think about that for just a second. If God Almighty, who spoke this world into existence, if God Almighty, who is sovereign, who is above all, in all, through all, is able to rest, why in the world is wrong with us? Some of us think that we're so busy we can't rest. Some of us feel like if I sit down and rest, or if I just take a chill pill for a day and I just kind of relax, it's almost as if we feel guilty because, oh, I feel like I need to be doing something. God says, rest with me. By the way, you know what else, too, about, you know, one thing I notice about anxiety as a therapist? When I see people that are anxious, I usually see that they're restless. They're worried. Their minds are all over the place. They have a tendency to be irritable. Sleep takes a hit. Right? If I'm resting in God, I can rest with all those circumstances going on around me. Because if I'm resting in God, I understand that God has this under control. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be restless. I don't have to fret. And I really appreciate what Sister Shade said. When we derive our peace from God, we are able to rest in Him. One of the things I would encourage you to do this year is learn how to rest. And not just rest for rest's sake, but rest in the God who is able to control, who is able to hold you. He's even better than Nationwide, right, Bobby? He's able to do those things in your life. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. So here, God gives them the marching orders, if you will. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. In a nutshell, we follow God, not vice versa. We follow God. Notice in verse 4 what Joshua says. Then you will know which way to go. This is cool. since you have never been this way before. Now, for many of us, we have crossed a lot of January 1st thresholds in our lifetime. Duncan's working on his 115th. You know, Brian's working on his 98th. You know, we're working, a lot of us have been through January 1st before. Okay? But on the other hand, this is a new year. We're going to have new experiences. We're going to have new challenges. We're going to have new events that are going to come into our lives. We're going to face something new because God knows that. God understands that. This is not just a yawning moment where we just, oh, yeah, January 1st, 2020, is just like January 1st, 1998 for some of us. No, it's not, because we don't know what we're going to encounter this year. We don't know what kind of challenges we're going to face this year. My guess is some of us weren't necessarily expecting some of the challenges that we faced last year, right? Now, I don't say that to scare us. I don't say that to have a doom and gloom attitude, but it's true. We don't know what's coming, but we do know this. If you will follow the Lord, if you will follow the ark, and that is a representation of God's presence, if you will follow the Lord, you will know which way to go. How many times do you have people come to you, oh, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't know how to, I don't know which way to turn. Right? I hear people say that all the time. I just don't know, I just don't know, I just don't know. Tell me what to do. What should I do? Follow the ark. Follow the Lord. Listen to His voice. Seek out counsel from the pages of His Word. Join yourself with godly people who love you, who care about you. This is one of the big reasons we preach life groups, because we need each other. As we said before, God saves us individually, but He puts us in a community, right? This is where life groups come in. This is where our camaraderie comes in, as being people of God and community with God and with God's people. So we need that. If we will keep our eyes set on God, then we will know which way to go, because we haven't gone this way before. But notice what else He says. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Now, here's almost seems contradictory, doesn't it? On one hand, Joshua is saying, when the ark moves, you move. You go with it. You follow. You keep your eyes on it. But on the other hand, he says, but don't get too close. Don't get too close. Why? Why is that? Because I think it speaks to two points of God's character. God, if you think about it, is one of the most inviting, loving gods that you will ever come across. You remember what it says in Matthew chapter 11? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Right? But then there are other passages of Scripture where God says what? Hey, I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm just. I'm righteous. You better keep that in mind. Why does God have that? Why does God have that tension in there? I think it's important for us to understand that, because although God is the most loving God, inviting God you'll ever meet, you have to come to God on His terms, not yours. God is a holy God, and when we lose the idea of God being holy, we lose the idea of God being magnificent. When we lose the idea of God being righteous, when we lose the idea of God being holy and just, we lose the significance of what it means to follow a God like that. We are basically in what I call the laugh-in culture. You remember the old show Laugh-In? No? I'm not that old. Okay. But yeah, I remember the old comedy show Laugh-In. Everything is a joke. Everything is downgraded. Everything is looked at through comedic terms or through humor. And I want to tell you something. You can't look at our God like that. Now, God definitely has a sense of humor. You can look at some of us and tell that. But you cannot look at God and say that this God is less than what He is as revealed in His Word. Because if you do, you lose the significance of that. By the way, have you ever noticed that people that you call by the first name are people that you kind of look at and sort of, yeah, you don't really go to them for counsel, do you? Who do you seek out for counsel? The crackhead next door? The guy who can't keep a job? Who do you go to for counsel? Most of us turn to people that we think are smart, or think that they're wise, or think that they have a good grasp on life so that they can share some of their lessons, share some of their insights with us. We don't turn to people that we call by first name and joke around with most of the time. There's that respect factor. God, we have taken away in our culture to a great degree the respect factor when it comes to God. Our God is a God who is to be feared. He is to be revered. He is to strike awe in our hearts. He is not just some old granddaddy up in the sky who just wants to pat us on the head when we happen to get something right once in a while, but he is a God who is loving, who is kind, who is gracious, who is merciful, but he's also righteous, he's also holy, he's also just. And you cannot disregard that. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you that push-pull tension that we see with God, come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And that thing, hey, but wait a minute, I'm holy, I would suggest to you that's a great paradigm for us. On one hand, we need to be some of the most warm, empathetic, loving, inviting people on the planet, but there ought to be something about us that says, but wait a minute, you can't walk over me. You can't use me. I'm going to be assertive. I'm going to be godly. I'm going to let my values that are rooted in God's word, let my convictions that are rooted in God's word guide me. So if you're going to interact with me, you have to do it on the right basis. What a wonderful, wonderful paradigm that is for us to embrace. Because some of us gravitate between being doormats, right, or being jerks. Let's find that middle range. Let's embrace this same paradigm that God embraces in our lives. So then in verse 5, let's wrap it up. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you. I think that's so cool. What does the word consecrate mean? It means to sanctify, to set apart. So God is looking at these people and says, consecrate yourselves, set yourselves apart, sanctify yourselves, get yourselves where you need to be spiritually. And tomorrow, I don't think that's a misstep on God. Because God is not giving, he's not tipping his hand. I'm going to do amazing things among you, but that is contingent on your consecration. Now again, do we like to switch that up a little bit? God, show me what you got. God, show me what you'll do, and then I will worship you, right? God, do come through with me. Come through for me in a big way, and then I will serve you. That's what we do a lot of times. We try to negotiate and bargain with God. God says, uh-uh, there's no negotiation. There's no bargaining. Consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow I'm going to do amazing things among you. Do you think that's still true? Yeah, I do too. I think God says, consecrate yourselves to me, LifePoint. Consecrate yourselves to me, individuals. Consecrate yourself to me, families. And tomorrow I will show you amazing things that will happen. But you got to consecrate. You got to get your spiritual lives. You got to get your spiritual houses in order for me to be able to do what I want to do in your life. That's what God is teaching us here. So what did God do? Joshua said to the priest in verse 6, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people, so that they took it up and they went ahead of them. So here's what God does next. This is really cool too. We haven't read this passage because we're going to wrap it up. But what God does next, he tells the Levitical priest to pick up the Ark of the Covenant. They got them on poles and they got them going through the little sockets there on the side of the Ark of the Covenant. They get those things up and they go and they put their foot in the water. I've always often thought about that, how cool that is. God didn't say, now just wait right here on dry land while I get ready to do something really cool for you. He says, no, first of all, you got to commit You got to exercise faith. So they put their feet in the water, and all of a sudden what happens? That Jordan River that was overflowing, that was flooded at that time of the year, no doubt the current is rushing rapidly by them, all of a sudden that river begins to slow down. Then it slows down more. All of a sudden, the waters begin to kind of pile up on each side. And then lying there in front of the Israelites, in front of those priests, and in front of those million-plus Israelites is a dry pathway that leads across to the other side. Did God come through? Absolutely. Think about this as we wrap it up. How many rivers are you and I going to be crossing this year? We don't know. Some of us may not be here next year at this time. We may cross the Jordan River of death. Some of us may be in new relationships. Some of us may be in new jobs. Some of us may be facing some new opportunities. Some of us may be facing some very new challenges. But here's the secret. Consecrate yourselves. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Rest in Him. Obey Him. Let Him lead us. Because if we will do that, then it doesn't matter what we face. It doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter what happens. God Almighty is in control. Is there an amen in the house?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. And Lord, as we come to the point of our service where we have an invitation, Lord, we come waiting for you to do something great. But Lord, as you taught us in the book of Joshua, in order for you to do something amazing for us, you sometimes require us to consecrate ourselves. You tell us to keep our eyes on you. You tell us to move when you move, not to move ahead of you. As you reminded Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, you give us your word and your direction. And if we will not deviate from it to the left or to the right, God, you've promised to make us successful and prosperous. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to embark on that same journey with you this year. Lord, again, we don't know where we will be in the coming weeks and months of this year. We don't know what kind of challenges, what kind of opportunities, what kind of blessings lay before us. But Lord, I pray that you will help us to consecrate ourselves and to always look to you for your guidance and your direction, that we might enjoy this year and it might enjoy the opportunities that you give us for this coming year. For we ask it in Jesus' sweet name. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And as our praise team leads us in our invitation song, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, I want to invite you to come. Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. What better way to start a new year, to start a new decade, by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save your soul and make you his child? Maybe you're a Christian and you realize that you haven't consecrated yourself. You haven't been following him. You've been going above and you've been going to the left or to the right where God says, no, follow me. And God has spoken to your heart about that, and you need to come and make that right this morning with him. Would you come this morning and let God just minister to you? You be still right now and listen to God's voice as our praise team leads you at this time.
mountains rise.